Welcome to the latest OIME Talks podcast. I'm your host, David Petro, and today we're going to be doing a podcast preview of our December webinar with Kelly Cullen. She is going to be talking about her workshop, Math Without Worksheets. And so let's get right to it. Okay, so I'm talking with Kelly Cullen. Kelly, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Kelly, I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about yourself and how you connect yourself with math.
So my name is Kelly Cullen. I'm currently in my second year as a mathematics instruction and assessment facilitator with the Simcoe County District School Board. I have been teaching with the Simcoe County Board for almost 25 years now. And throughout my career, I started off as a high school teacher, teaching math, and quickly moved to teaching junior, then to kindergarten, and then teaching primary division. My family and I are pretty active, and we enjoy mountain biking, road cycling, running, skiing, and being outdoors. And I tie that a lot into my math program and my teaching practices as well. There are a couple of ways that I am connected to math. I think about maybe my fixed mindset a little bit about math in terms of discovering the times when I, in grade six, when I wasn't able to do integers and was taught the rules for addition and subtraction, but just couldn't grasp it. And that memory has really made me think about trying to, from that experience, always incorporate some other ways of showing how to do something, and that sometimes through a worksheet, I'm not going to experience that. When I was in high school, I realized really math was my thing. That was what I was good at. But I realized now that I was mimicking mathematics. The teacher could show on the board how to do it, and I could do the same equations and get the answers. I didn't have to do many of them, and I was good at it. And it carried me through university, and the time when I finished university, I did take a Bachelor of Science in mathematics. The challenge was that we had to prove theorems and why they existed. And I had absolutely no idea what to do because I had never been challenged to think critically before. And, you know, I get out of teacher's college and I go through being, you know, a junior classroom teacher, but it really wasn't until I was in kindergarten and my experiences of teaching changed. It was a turning point where I had a better understanding of mathematics and early childhood education. The kindergarten program of inquiry and play-based learning made me pay attention. I was now focused on trying to notice and name the learning that students were thinking and sharing. And it made me curious to want to know more. And it also was a time period where I realized that children don't speak mathematical language or vocabulary, and they need us as educators to be able to say what math they're doing. It was during this time that Dr. Doug Clements and Julie Sarema's work on the learning trajectories and their description and pathways of how children develop math thinking and math learning was something that I really focused on. And it was during that time where another educator, Laura Baudry, and I developed diagnostics based on their work for ideas of subitizing and comparing numbers and counting. And these areas were very influential in how I wanted students to still be able to play with materials to show their thinking. And the other aspects of a kindergarten program were outdoor education and self-regulation. And after I taught kindergarten, I went into a primary classroom, a grade two, and my whole programming changed for mathematics. I incorporated a three-part math lesson where I had an activation task for Minds On, and then my action tasks were all students collaborating with each other and working with materials, and then the consolidation of what strategies did you use, talks about like how did you work with your partner, and then it was exit tickets of one or two questions. And from there, I had worked through Dr. Stuart Shanker's self-regulation and wanted to continue my outdoor education with my primary classes. So after in-class math time, we would transition to outdoors before recess and continue our math learning. And sometimes it was making connections to patterns in nature or the physical structures or neighborhood walks of reading numbers on houses. But it really made me want kids to see that math is all around us all of the time. And I just notice and wonder and think about where math is in the things I see and the experiences students and myself have had.
Okay, and so we're talking to you today because we're going to be talking about your OME 2024 session. But I wonder if you can tell me a little bit about how you first either heard of or got involved with OME.
Early on in my career, I did attend a couple of OME conferences, although I can't remember exactly where. One of them, I think, was also at York University. And most recently, in 2019, I attended a Max Square, which is a chapter of OME, their annual fall picnic. I became a counselor, and since 2022, I have been their secretary, and I'm currently the president-elect. From attending OME, it's been really recently where I've been doing presentations at OME. I started in 2019 doing a session titled Strengthening Mathematics Instruction and Assessment Using Learning and Teaching with Learning Trajectories. I was in Ottawa. And then I was supposed to be in person to do Exploring the Beauty of Mathematics when it was in Toronto, but sadly COVID hit, and a couple of years later, ended up doing a virtual video of that session where I took educators on a math trail of a school that I worked at in Bradford. And then most recently this past OME session in Kingston is where I did Math Without Worksheets.
Right, and that's what we are here to talk about. You are going to be doing that as our OME webinar this month, and I wondered if you could just give us sort of a brief idea of what you'll be talking about.
So my little session title, Math Without Worksheets, had the following description that I'd like to have people portray in their minds was, picture walking into your classroom and the room abuzz with chatter about the lesson and how the students plan to approach the problems of the day. Students throughout the room are using materials to make physical and meaningful connections to math concepts. During this interactive workshop, we will explore how to implement real and rich math tasks into the classroom without the need for a worksheet. We'll learn how to document student thinking through oral conversations and observations and discover tools to enrich mathematical understanding. The webinar, I hope in December, will focus on the why we need to focus less on worksheets, and the how. We'll consider how to include a three-part math lesson with lines on action tasks, consolidation, and assessment, and thinking about breaking down the action tasks further for educators to work through together, how to take a curriculum expectation and turn it into an engaging math lesson without the need of a worksheet.
So can you give us like a brief idea of what one of those activities might look like?
Yeah, so as part of a starting point, I always really go back to the Ontario math curriculum and thinking about what the expectation might be. So a real life example that I found was I had gone to Costco and purchased some deodorants that were in a box. And when I opened up the box, there were 5 individual deodorants, but realized the space within the package itself could have optimized to have 6. And I thought, what a great example for students, particularly thinking about, in this case, it would be attached to the grade 7 curriculum and determining the volume of prisms and cylinders, of finding the volume inside this package, thinking about them noticing the same wonderings that I've had, could there be possibly a capacity to hold more? And then, you know, relating that to financial literacy in terms of how much money it costs you, how much does each individual one cost, and is there savings, and what more, you know, as a consumer, you would want to be comparing in order to think about whether or not this is something I would want to purchase.
So you're really looking at all kinds of strands there at once, it seems.
Yes, and sometimes whether it's something that you have that can bring all those together, and it could be used more than once. And I think part of our students' understanding of the world around them is that they need lots of experience and lots of repetition of those experiences in order to make it concrete for them and sound for them.
So now I'm just thinking logistically, when you are coming across these activities or creating these activities, is it more a sense of, okay, I need something to address these expectations, what can I do? Or you're more like, it sounds like out in the wild, like at Costco, and you see something and saying, oh, I can make an activity that will hit these things about that.
It's a bit of both. In the first instance, I would say that I'm always thinking about, yes, the expectation of where it comes from, and then thinking about, you know, where I can do this, whether it's in the classroom or if I see it outside, can I take my students outside? And then thinking about, you know, those hands-on concrete materials that I might need to make it tangible for students to be able to touch and move around. And then thinking about the representation part of how they're going to show their work that is not a worksheet, whether that's they're conversing or it's a vertical whiteboard space. And a lot of it is what I'm listening to and what I'm seeing from the students and how I'm recording that. And then the other piece is, you know, a student once stated to me, you see math in everything. And I do. I look at something and I think about where I've experienced it in the math curriculum or in my math teachings and how I could change it based on whether or not I'm teaching something new.
I know I certainly see the world that way. I see math lessons everywhere I look. So yeah, I totally resonate with that idea. Now, I feel like the title of your workshop is kind of maybe a shot across the bow at maybe a more traditional math classroom. So you definitely will have people who are interested in coming, who are looking for that sort of experience. But how do you try to entice somebody who, you know, is a math teacher who is using a lot of worksheets to come to your session?
Yes, that's a tricky one because it's about taking a risk and doing things that are outside of our comfort zone sometimes. But I think about just starting small. Maybe if you do bell work to start, which is maybe a half a sheet that has a couple of questions on it, maybe not doing that, but instead changing to a minds on activity that's interactive, whether it's a virtual interactive piece of estimating a collection of objects or some of those solve me mobiles, which is a bit of algebra and shapes. Maybe that's where educators start in their programming. And then maybe it's taking some time and thinking about the exit tickets, that maybe after your lesson, it's not about doing a whole worksheet, but it's maybe one or two questions that are not knowledge-based questions, are more application questions or thinking questions to do. And then maybe it's once a week with your activation tasks that you want to bring a little bit more of the collaboration and interaction of students together working through a problem. So I would always say to start small.
So when someone is going to this workshop or coming to the virtual session, what do you hope that they leave the session with?
I would hope that they leave the session with appreciating that it's okay to take the time to consider something that they see in a moment, whether it's something out in nature or an observation in their surroundings, and think about what math lives there and maybe what math they could bring into their classroom from that experience to try.
Would you say that the session is for teachers of a particular grade or a section of grades, or who's coming to these sessions?
My basis of the workshop that I did at OAMI, I sourced out for educators some expectations and some tasks or some questions, and it was across the curriculum. So I had kindergarten tasks all the way up to grade 8 tasks, all based on measurement and giving educators a time to look through those specific tasks, asking themselves those questions of how many students could work together to do this task and what kind of things could you hear students talking about, and thinking about different places that they could do these tasks and a real focus on real life examples of things that they could bring from home, whether it's loose parts or things that they purchase, you know, everyday items. And aside from the, you know, the school oriented materials, and then thinking about all those connections of how students can represent, whether it's just showing you rather than writing it down or taking a video, and then how as educators could assess what they've learned from their students. And I think those pieces are for every grade, and you can use those for any part of the curriculum. So I try to give educators something that I've kind of thought of myself and hope that they can work together to figure out the math, and then hope that they could, from that experience, try it more often with the expectations they're using with their students.
You know, I really like that idea of trying to find activities that sort of span the curriculum and grades. I always find that a win when I can find a context that I could relate to something in the earlier grades just as easily as some of the later grades. So yeah, that's definitely a nice find when you get that. Okay, so that gives us a little idea of what you're going to be talking about when we do our webinar in December. I don't want to give the whole thing away. And so we do hope we see you all there. So Kelly, thanks for talking to us today.
Thank you, David, for having me. And it was a pleasure to speak about math without worksheets.
All right. And we'll see you in a few weeks.
Bye now.
That was Kelly Coolin talking about Math Without Worksheets. This is our December 11th webinar for OME members. Members can register at our MCIS registration site. The link is in the podcast description. Next month, we will be featuring Lisa Lenny-Borden talking about her workshop, Enacting Equity in Mathematics Classrooms. So until then, stay safe.